escucho mi voz para adorar y gozar en ti. Regoítate
church is just getting out of service down there now, so I thought I'd do that for them. That song is called I Love You, God. In Spanish, it's I Love You, My King. I was asked once in the church, which do you prefer? Which language is better for you, English or Spanish? And my answer was, God does not speak in English, nor does he speak in Spanish. The language of God is love. Dee said almost the whole true story, but he neglected to say that the reason I left this church is because something he said to me.
It's your father, Pastor.
In Matthew 15:8, he gave his talk back, and I think it was 2005, and he was talking about what we should be doing with our lives. And one of the things he was talking about was, everybody's sitting here saying, yes, I love God. I'm a Christian, blah, 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 blah. But what are you actually doing in your life? And he said, what you need to do is build your life on Christ. Those of you who are old enough, remember that on that day, he handed these out to the congregation. And he said, this is a symbol that you can keep with you. And I kind of thought he meant me to do that, so I did. And he said, upon the rock, I will build my church. And as he handed these out, he said, remind yourself that upon that rock, you should build your life. Be careful what you say. People might be listening. So anyhow, I sat in the back, which I usually did, and I listened. And people started going on the mission trips. And I thought to myself, you know, that's something I'd like to do someday. But in my mind, I couldn't picture 10 days as being a mission. Please, don't, you know, nothing against the people that go on these trips. But I couldn't do that in my head. You know, I could say that's a good start. That's a good battery jumpstart me to do something else. But I looked at the scripture and said, I need to do something with my life. I sit back there and I sing the songs and I listen to Dee talk and I watch people go on these trips and I'm saying, what am I doing wrong? That was the wrong question. The question should have been, what am I not doing? So I decided that someday I was going to go and do, be, live a mission. Amen. And I did. September 3rd on 2010, I moved to Quito, Ecuador. And my hope was to get down there and help a gay church grow and be strong in a place where gays could come and worship God. And I made the same mistake then that I did in October 2002 when I first came here. I went down there looking for a gay church, and I found out there was no such thing.
Amen.
But there are Christian churches who allowed gays to worship their father.
Amen.
And that's what we decided to do. So we got a bunch of people together down there, and we started building a core of what we wanted to do. And we put together a group that says, we want a church, what can we do? And as it says in 1 John 3:17, we take what we have and we use that to build, okay? Because the biggest building block that each and every one of us has is God's love. We can make the strongest foundation without a single dollar or a single person as long as we have God's love in our heart. So that's what we did. We found out who wanted to be Christian, who wanted to worship God, who wanted to help other people. And we started putting it together. And we're still doing that. We do not have a church yet. One of the things that we found down there is that when people go to church in Ecuador, the person who sits up here usually wears black and white, and he says, "Blessed art thou," and he will tell you what you are supposed to memorize. We had a study group at the Pride Center. We established a Pride Center down there, and we had a Bible study group, and we were talking about books in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. And this guy I know has been going to church for 39 years. And he held up the Bible and said, "Excuse me, is this the Old Testament or the New Testament?" And I knew then that we cannot sit there and have a church, but we had to back up and start from scratch and incorporate a school with that. So now every time we have a religious meeting, they call them reunions down there, we have a combination. We have a message, like Dee gives every Sunday. And then I have occasion of what I call the gospel according to Al. How did that message fit me as a person? How did that message affect me as a gay man? How did that message affect me as a Christian? And how do I incorporate all that together in my life? And more importantly, how do you, Ecuadorians, incorporate that together in your life? Because nobody has ever asked them before to be gay and Christian at the same time. It is a concept as foreign to them as Russian, and probably just as difficult to talk about. Okay? They cannot comprehend. There are three guys who come to our center who have literally been picked up and thrown out of church for being gay. And that's the way churches are in Ecuador right now. We have been accepted in a Lutheran church down there. I talked with Pastor Felipe Adolf, and he said, "When you walk through that door, you are not gay. I am not the pastor. She is not a woman. He is not a man. We are Christians." And that is the first church in Quito since Quito was founded in 1503 that has accepted gays as members of the congregation. And that's one of the things we're trying to do. Do we want a gay church down there? For lack of better terms, yeah, we want a gay church. A place where gays can come and hold their partner, put their arms around them. Have a pareja is what they call it, a partner down there, a husband, a wife, and be able to do that. Their constitution, Article 67 and 68, guarantee under the national constitution gay rights. Wow. They do have civil unions down there as part of the constitution. They do not have a religious ceremony where they can get married in a church. We're working on it. Okay, slowly but surely. We have a phrase that we use down there every time we butt our heads against the wall. It's poco a poco, a little bit at a time. Okay? We're getting there. We're getting there. One of the things that I found as I went down there is I'm 63 years old, and that's not really old. That's kind of midlife. So I've had a while to be able to learn some things. But one of the things that I've learned, and one of the things that God does to me every day is, okay, humility. I get down there and think, well, maybe I could teach them this. And God says, "I'm smarter than you." So the one thing that I have to learn every day is to kneel down and pray. Every single morning, every single night, and say, "God, show me how to keep out of your way and not screw things up." And if I can do that, We get a lot of things done down there. A lot of things done. There has never, in Quito's history, been a Pride Center. There has never, in Quito's history, been a Christian church that has accepted gays. There has never, in Quito's history, been a helping organization down there on a community level. Since we have opened the Pride Center, we have had the Alcoholics Anonymous types groups down there. So far, and we opened it on March 30th of this year, we have Alcoholics Anonymous, we have Sexaholics Anonymous, we have Gamblers Anonymous, we have Addicted to Sex and Love Anonymous, which is a domestic violence group. We have two bipolar groups down there, which the nation has never had until we opened the center. Okay. Friday nights, we have a Jewish group that comes in and uses one of our rooms for services. Yeah. Once or twice a month, we have a group of Hindus and Muslims that come in and worship, who are gay. Every Saturday night, we have our Christian group. We serve communion down there, and I stole as many examples as I could from this church. We serve grape juice because it's right after the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and when they come to worship God, they can partake fully in the communion. Because in the churches down there, they serve wine. And when the alcoholics go to church, they take a piece of bread, they kind of wave it over the wine, and then eat the bread. Now they can take the bread and the blood and feel that they're doing a full communion. So, simple things, simple people, and here we go. One of the things that we've tried to do down there is get them involved as much as possible. They do not think they are capable of doing the things that the gringos can do. We have 30, 40, 50 years of experience up here that they do not have in Quito, Ecuador. So every time they have that feeling, every time they say, I can't do that, I turn around and tell them there's a whole lot of difference between can't and won't. Try it. If you fail, we'll figure out what we did wrong, and we'll try it again. Amen. But try it. And they have. We now have people who have been coming to the groups who are leading the groups. We have a man down there now who is a rabbi, if you would. I don't know if there's an actual school that they get their doctorate of divinity degrees in. But he has 3 years of actual college learning to be a rabbi and theological teaching, and he is now leading the Jewish group. He is also meeting with the rabbis of the other two Jewish synagogues down there for the straight people and working with them to explain how you can be gay and Jewish, which, by the way, is a lot easier than being Christian and Jewish. The Jews will accept gays into their synagogues. Okay? And he has counseled with 4 or 5 people already who go to the straight synagogues who are now attending services in the Jewish synagogue that we have on Friday night. So I have been blessed to be called by a pastor down there. I used to go to his church before we went to the Lutheran church. And the reason I changed is I go to the Spanish language services down there because when you come to a new church, you feel out of place. Okay? If you're gay and you come to a straight church, you feel out of place. So it's a lot easier to be able to see somebody you recognize and know and sit down beside them. And I can lean over to him and say, okay, this is where we stand up and we read it from right here. So he doesn't feel like a bump on the log. So I attend the Spanish services down there so they feel comfortable coming. We have had as many as 12 gays in their congregation at one time. Their congregation typically runs 20 people. Sweet. Okay? And every single one of the people in that congregation knows that we are gay. And every single one of them knows that we are Christian. And every single one of them knows that we are there to worship God and not to be a political activist. And every single one of them turns around and says, welcome, have a seat. So we're making grounds. We're trying. One of the things that we do down there, different than we do up here, and it's really different, is we walk. The people who drive in Quito, Ecuador, move to New York City to get a relaxing drive in the suburbs. Okay? Their traffic lights have three colors, yellow, green, and red. Green means go. Yellow means go faster. Red means run like hell. Okay? Dodgeball down there is not played with the balls. It's played with pedestrians. Okay? Their cars down there are small. All their taxis are Nissan Sentras or Hyundais or something like that. Okay? Their limousine service has a Kia Optima as a limousine. It's culture shock. And it's so much fun, and it's so frustrating at the same time. And I love it. I love it. Okay? The people down there are friendly. Friendly. You can't walk past somebody without somebody saying, hi, and just walking on. Okay? It's a great culture. Great people. But with greatness comes trouble. And some of the troubles they have is doing what they're told and not thinking. And that's our biggest problem down there now, and that's our biggest concern, and that's what all of our programs are developed for. Our center down there is called the Pride Center, and we do that because we want to instill pride in every single person that comes there, man, woman, old, young, straight or not straight, okay? One of the things that we try is, as we translate it into Spanish, it becomes a humanistic ordeal for us, okay? Trying to be huggable, try to smile, try to do the things that politicians don't do, many priests don't do, which is the reason that a lot of gays leave those kinds of areas. We are developing programs down there, and every program that we have has two criteria. You must not speak bad or evil against anybody or anything. And you must accept and love the people that come to meet with you. If you cannot do that, you cannot have a group at our center. End of story. That's what we are. We are the Centro Humanístico, the humanistic center for pride. And we are proud that we can do that. One of the things we have down there is that we have an organization called Equidad. And as I talk about this section, I'm going to have Pierce throw some pictures up. These are just pictures of Quito. This is where I live, actually, if you can hold that picture right there. I live in this building here, this little brown one on the other side of the park. I live in a house right now, but that's when I live when I first get down there. The rent costs me $350 for a furnished two-bedroom apartment, but it didn't include utilities. I had to pay $8 a month for water, $6 for the electric, and I think $9 for the phone. So people down there find it an interesting place. This is the center where they train all of their Olympic athletes. They do occasionally have a regular football down there, just to show that they're international in culture. So they play in their football fields. We get down there and we try to incorporate everything Ecuadorian in everything we do. Our chief competition is called Equidad, which is Spanish for the word equality. They are a political activist committee, and when they found out that we had opened, they had incorporated into their charter as many gay organizations as they could, including PFLAG, which is one of the things that we wanted to try to do because the families are having so much trouble with their children. And I'm talking children 40, 50, 60 years old and their parents too. So we cannot do PFLAG. By the way, the aircrafts come in 500 feet over the city to land in the airport. So we are developing a program that we call El Puente, which is the bridge. And we're trying to span that bridge between throwing your child out and saying, welcome home, son. Just like God would do when we die and go to heaven. Welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. Everything that we do down there, we try. Yeah, well, that's before. By the way, this yellow line that you see here, that is the equator. And that was measured by star charts in 1763. There is another line about 200 meters to the north that's red. And it was done in 1998 and done by GPS. And that is the actual equator. So you can tell how accurate they were in 1763 when they were only 200 yards off the equator. And the word Ecuador is a Spanish word that means equator. One of the things that they do down there is they try to be very natural. A lot of their doctors are holistic medicine doctors. When I went in and I told them I had hypertension, high blood pressure, and I had diabetes, and I had back problems, they put me on a diet of herbs and vegetables, walking and exercises, and I lost 67 pounds in a year. Okay, I no longer take my high blood pressure medicine. My blood pressure is now 128 over 74. And that's pretty good for a diabetic who is overweight and 63 years old. My diabetes medicine has been cut in half, and I expect to be off of it by next June.
Nice.
So,
thank you, Lord.
Yes. I often wonder why I went to Ecuador. Now I know. I can live another 5 years.
63.
Okay. Oh, by the way, they have something down there they call tercera edad, the third age. And when you become 65, every tax you pay is refunded to you at the end of the year.
No.
Okay. Your rents cannot go above X amount of percentage of your income.
Nice.
Air flights are one half of the given cost. It cost me $1,187 for the flight and the taxes to come here, visit my son in Texas, come up to Salt Lake, and go back to Quito. When I turn 65, I'll be paying $670 for a round-trip ticket.
Wow, that's awesome.
So if anybody wants really good air flights, you can move to Quito. There are three churches down there who kind of accept gays. We've talked a little bit about the Lutheran church. Their name is El Adviento, the Advent. The second church, this is the blowgun, by the way, and they still use blowguns in the Amazon to hunt. And coming up, I think you have a shrunken head. Yeah, there it is. That's a real shrunken head, by the way. They use a process similar to tanning cow hides. They take the skull out, they take the brains out, and they figure out how big the head they want, and they find a rock, and they put it inside and sew the head up, and it shrinks until it gets to the rock. So this is actually some guy that lost the fight. So, but anyhow, the second church down there is called English Fellowship Church. They kind of accept gays, but it's kind of like a don't ask, don't tell. If we don't know you're gay, you're welcome to be here and act like a Christian. But if we do know you're gay, I don't know if I can do this. The third church is the one we're trying to start down there, and we call it La Luz Sagrada de Cristo. And translated, that means Sacred Light of Christ.
Yeah.
And that was not my suggestion, by the way. That was a suggestion of one of the Equatorians down there. So, okay. When you look out, we're going to look at a scripture called Philippians 2 and 4. So it says, by the way, these are all native cactus to Ecuador. 14 indigenous native brands in Ecuador. And I always thought cactuses were in the desert. No. Philippians 2 and 4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but for the interests of others. This is probably the one chapter and verse that made us decide not to strictly go for a church, but to open the Pride Center. there was so much more that needed to be done than simply worship God. And simply is a phrase. I mean, that is not a simple matter. It is not. But there are so many things that needed to be done down there. We have a list of things that we are just trying to get done. And every day we do a little bit more. But because we don't have it all done, it gives us all a future, something to look forward to, something to strive for. And let me tell you that the Ecuadorians work twice as hard as I do at trying stuff. And I'm usually in the center for 8 or 9 hours a day, 6 days a week. So, pat myself on the back. It's not me. It's them. It is them. It's their desire and their idea and what they want to do. Some of the things that we have to do is a cultural interpretation. We have a small library down there, a DVD and a book library. And the people that come to the center can check a book out, take it home, watch a DVD, bring it back, and swap it. Well, one of the people checked out a book, and the person who donated it came in and said, "I'm here for my book." I says, "I don't understand. You donated it to the library." "Yes, I did. I want it back now." And I did not understand that in Ecuador, donations mean loan. They loaned it to our library, and they can take it back whenever they want. So we have come to the point now where we are getting legalistic, and we have a paper that says once you donate it to the Pride Center, it is no longer yours. You cannot take it home, those kinds of things. If you want to loan it to us, we will put it on loan, and it will not be a checkout book. It will be a book you can read here. And we've done that, and it seems to be working out pretty good right now. One of the things that we find difficult down there also is that many in the gay community have an attitude of, give it to me. I need it. I want it. Entitlement. Yes. Thank you. And part of the problem is the government. If you were to have AIDS and walk up to me as a government doctor and say, "I have AIDS, I want medication," I would say, "Okay, there's a pharmacy, go get it." That's it. I'd probably examine them to make sure you had AIDS, but that's all it would take. So they feel, because of their history, that they should be able to get whatever they want. We at the Pride Center have tried to instill pride in them by saying, no, you earn what you get. You participate, you share, you give as much as you take. And over the last 6 months, we have seen a lot of people turn around. Their mindset is no longer, what can you do for me? But I've actually had people walk in and say, what can I do? You know? Slowly but surely, we're doing a little bit each and every day down there. Hopefully we'll get there. Galatians 6 and 2, bear one another's burdens. We have had many people come. One of our guys named Pedro, he did an interview on a TV about AIDS, which he has. And he says, "I cannot talk to my mother. She hates me." So we could not talk with his mother without his and her permission, cultural thing. So we sat down and talked with him. We shared his burden. We became his parents, his brothers and sisters. And he has now come to the point where he is actually exercising. He's taking his medication regularly. He's seeing a psychologist. And he's working with the AIDS group that we just founded last week. And he's one of the leaders saying, come in, let's talk. Okay? Some of the things that we do on an everyday weekly deal, we cannot do on a grand scale. It's simple grassroots type deal, our AA meetings and stuff like that. But we try to make the year something that people look forward to. One of the things that we did is we had an Easter dinner. And now the Lutheran Church has joined us, and we are having an annual Easter get together for the three congregations, the English, the German, and the Spanish, for the gay community and anybody else who wants to show up. One of the things that we're doing is this Christmas, they don't know about Christmas stockings. So we have a friend down there who works in the clothing industry, and he is giving us a case of socks. Okay? And so we are going to take those socks, and we're going to put an apple and maybe some peanuts and candy or something like that, and we're going to go to the children's hospital with 1,000 socks on Christmas Eve. And for our Christmas activity, we're going to go bed to bed and give out a Christmas stocking.
Nice.
It's kind of nice. We're going to have, for the first time in Ecuadorian history, a group Thanksgiving dinner.
Yay.
And that's one of the reasons I had to come up here, is because they don't sell cranberry sauce down there, so I had to buy. So, it was a good excuse. It was a good excuse. But my English class, I teach two English classes. One is from 4 to 5, Monday through Friday. And that's for the people who are learning the very basics. And how do you say I in English? Well, you in Spanish, you write it A-I, and then they can say I. Okay? We teach customs from all the English language countries, Ireland, Canada, England, Australia, whatever. And this fall, we're going to have Thanksgiving Day at my house. Now, another cultural thing, turkey is not a popular dish in Ecuador. So I am going to buy a 12-pound turkey and have somebody bake it for me because my oven's not big enough. To buy the turkey, are you sitting down? Oh, good. To buy the turkey, a 12-pound turkey, is going to cost me $48. To cook it is going to cost $30.
Wow.
Now, I can go down and buy a whole chicken for $2. But chicken's not what we serve at Thanksgiving. They have no idea what stuffing is. So when I get the cranberry sauce, I'll buy the stuffing too and bring it down with me. They don't know what gravy is. They don't use gravy down there. So I'm going to buy some gravy packets and bring it down. It's a teaching experience to let them know that there's more to the world than Ecuador. And what I find out, there's more to the world than me. So it's fun. It's really fun. We're going to have one more activity, and when I'm done talking, we're going to put some photos up and see how much you know about it. But we'll wait for that in just a minute. Our yearly budget down there, the average income for someone who's beginning work, let's say you just graduated from college, you want to be a secretary, a clerk, maybe an insurance adjuster, something like that. The average starting wage for a beginning professional down there is $250 a month. The average annual salary, and this includes everybody from President Correa down to John Doe, who works sweeping the floors in the supermarket, the average annual salary is $7,800 a year. That's one reason they look to foreigners to help them. I get $1,600 a month as Social Security income, okay? They think I am rich. They have no idea why I'm not living in a grand house with a maid and a car and a chauffeur and a lawn keeper and everybody else. They cannot understand why I'm not doing that, being so rich. Whatever. Okay. One of the things we like to do is we like to expand what we're doing. So when I get back in October, on the I think it's the 24th, 25th, it'd be like the last weekend in October, Francisco Guayasamin, who's a friend of mine down there, and I are going to go to Guayaquil, which is about 120 miles south of where we are. It's a beach resort. And we're going to help them establish the second Pride Center in Ecuador.
Nice.
Okay. Now realize that this is 2011, and since 1503, there has never been a Pride Center down there.
Now there's two.
But in 8 months, there'll be two. But in February, we get to go to Manta, which is in the northwest part. And we're going to open the third one.
Sweet.
And Manta wants to start their own church as well.
Yay.
So we are now going to have two gay churches in Ecuador. One of the things that we do down there is we work with HIV. HIV is a big problem. About 40% of the gay and lesbian community in Ecuador have HIV. 40%. Think of Ecuador as maybe like San Francisco in the late 70s and 80s. The gay culture consists of bathhouses, bars, discotheques, saunas, all that kind of stuff. Okay? We are the only place in Quito with a gay area that they can come and act like boyfriend and girlfriend. They can sit down and chat and do things. We go to the ballet. The ballet down there is free to the public every Tuesday night. So every Tuesday night after our bipolar meeting, we have a group that meets at the Pride Center, and we walk down the street and go to the cultural center, and we sit down and watch the ballet. And it changes every month, and we get out every single month and see a new ballet. And people sit there and say that the gays down there are so crude and so base that they don't even know how to read, and we're trying to change the impression. We're trying to give our community pride, and we're trying to show the community in general that gays do have pride, that they do worship God, that they are the same as you and me, except behind closed doors. And that's the only difference between me and thee. Simple. Very, very simple. We had this last summer, Jose Rubio came down from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He's an Ecuadorian boy who's going to college in Milwaukee. And he came back and spent the summer down there doing HIV prevention. He went to the bars, the bathhouses, handed out pamphlets, handed out good condoms that we had imported down there. Right now, the condoms are so bad that when you rip open the package, you rip the condom with it. I mean, there's just no strength to it, none at all. So we're doing HIV prevention. Francisco has a friend who works in the assembly down there, and it's what we call Congress, Senate and Congress on the national level. And we sat down with this friend, and we wrote a law down there that said that if you knowingly pass on HIV to somebody else, then you're guilty of what we would call a felony up here. The law passed, and if you do that now, you are subject to 5 years in prison without an early release. You do 5 years or 365 days, and then you can walk out the front. The reason we did that is that it's very popular down there to wear HIV as a badge of honor. They have what's called positive parties. They have an orgy once a month, and everybody comes to this orgy, and they have sex all night long. And then in the morning during breakfast, the host will say, okay, who has AIDS? And people raise their hand. And then you can decide and find out if you had sex sometime last night with somebody who has AIDS. Can we say suicide? Now with this new law, if we can prove that you gave AIDS to him because you had sex without a condom and you knew you had AIDS, you're going to prison.
Yay!
Okay? The next step we have is we have a doctor that comes to the Pride Center. He's gay. His name is Francisco Contreras. He is the chief epidemiologist for the National Ministry of Health. The next law that we are going to write is one that requires standards for condoms. They must meet the international rigidity laws and safety laws and everything else, and we hope to have that passed by the end of the year.
Sweet.
It's not difficult. It's just that nobody has ever thought of that before down there. And since Francisco is in charge of epidemiology, he's also in charge of the AIDS prevention program, so he's going to take Jose and Kevin Tobar is down there now. He comes from New York. He's Ecuadorian. And he's going to enlist all these Ecuadorian kids that come home from the summer, and they're going to provide an internship for them while they're here, and they're going to do HIV prevention for the entire summer while they're home. And that'll start next June. So that's the first prevention program that Ecuador has ever had for HIV. And if it works, there are a lot of other sicknesses, STDs and stuff like that they have down there. They will expand the internships down there to cover those as well. So we're hoping. Okay, group four. This is a bunch of paperwork, so you may not want to watch that. But group four is a lot of the things that we want to do in the future. Next March, we plan on opening a radio station in Quito. The radio station will be internet stream link. It'll be FM, AM, and shortwave radio, which is very popular in South America. It will be a combination of an educational radio station, because there are so many people who do not have the opportunity of going to school and do not live in cities where there are schools, that we're going to have educational programs on the radio. It's also going to include gay orientation programs. Can your son be gay? What did you do wrong? Absolutely nothing. Can you be gay and Christian? How do you stop HIV? What do you do if somebody you know has HIV? Going to have all these different kind of programs, and we're going to have music. Right now, there are three types of radio stations in Ecuador: bebop, Britney Spears, the classical, or religious. There's nothing in between, so we're going to add on to our radio station easy listening music, some love songs and ballads and those kinds of stuff to give them another alternative to go on. We have a number of groups down there that don't have any kind of idea how to fit in. One of our groups is going to be called Living Alone. When you turn 18, you get kicked out of the house. You're an adult. Only my children live here. But you may not know how to cook or do the wash or shop or sign a contract or get a license. Okay? So we'll have a class on the radio for that. And someday, you're going to be old, and she may not be around. So what do you do with the house that you two shared? Do you stay in that house or rent an apartment? Is it okay to date again, or you're always going to think about her? You know, we're going to have another class called Living Alone 2. Okay? They don't have libraries down there, even in the capital city of Quito. So every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, we're going to have the story hour. And we're going to have people read stories on a elementary and junior high and possibly a high school level, so that every week the kids can sit down and read a book on the radio. One of the other things that we're going to do down there, when I first heard it, I kind of backed off. I didn't like it. But we're going to have sex education classes. There has never, ever been sex education in Ecuador, period. Not even in the colleges. They teach anatomy and they teach biology and say, there's the locker room, go finish your course. So we're gonna start doing that with the doctors down there. Next June, we're hoping to open a hospice. There has never been a hospice in Ecuador. So we are going to work with the gay HIV community and try to open a hospice. If that works, then we'll try to work with the Ministry of Health and open more hospices for other types of community. One of my pet projects is that I want to open what I call the Castaway Hotel. On any given day in Quito, you can find 2 to 250 kids. And I'm not talking teenagers. I'm talking 8 to 12, 13 maybe, who have been thrown out of their house because they're gay. And what do these kids do to survive? I'll give you one word, and it's not pretty. You got it. Prostitution. We want to provide a place where these kids can come and be safe. The number one rule at the Castaway Hotel is no means no. The number two rule is, if you need help, you better be asking, because we're not mind readers. Other than that, there are no rules. We will do whatever we can to help the kid. If we can put him back with his family, we will. If we can put him with a relative, we will. If we can't, we'll keep him. We'll put him in school. We have teachers in our center who will come and do homeschool for us. We will keep that kid until he's 18 years old and then pass him off to another gay businessman who can do an internship and help him get into the business that he wants to get into.
Nice. So.
My other project that I want to do down there is I want to open a store that will help support our church. The store is called God's Store. You can go down there and find a building as big as Walmart that sells Catholic. You can go down there and find a store that's maybe half the size of this chapel that sells Mormon. But you cannot go down there and find a store that sells Christian. So God's Store will open up, and then we'll have a section for Catholic, section for Mormon, section for Protestant, a section for Jews, because they believe in God too. We're going to have a section for Hindus, who already meet at our center, because they worship God. And we're going to have a section on Muslims, because they also believe in God. And if we can find any other group that believes in God, we'll sell stuff for them too.
Nice.
So, and we will provide that possibly as employment for the kids at the Castaway Hotel. And any of the profits after we pay the rent and the salaries are going to go to La Luz Sagrada de Cristo to help us build our church.
Amen.
One of the last things we're doing down here, this is kind of fun. I don't know if you've seen it up there, but there was kind of like a gay banner with some deal. Ecuador has never had a gay flag. Until I brought my gay flag down, I bought one of those, I had the 50 stars and stripes on there. Yeah. This is Atahualpa, by the way. He was the last Incan king. He was killed by Francisco Pizarro. But they have never in their lives seen a gay flag down there. They've seen a few on the internet and stuff like that, but not in person. So we're doing a contest right now on design a gay flag for Ecuador. And is the other one up there? This is the symbol of Ecuador. This is the coat of arms for Ecuador. And one of the things we're looking at, the Ecuador flag has a large space, like where the red and the orange, and part of the yellow would be yellow. And then below that, you're going to have blue, and on the bottom, you're going to have red. Those are the Ecuadorian colors. So one of the things that they suggested is cutting the flag in a triangle and having the Ecuador flag on one side, the gay flag on the other with the crest in the middle. So far we've got 20 flag drawings that we're going to do. And we're going to have a three-month voting period where everybody can vote on it, and then we're going to try to build a gay flag and then have it. And we will use that in our gay Pride Festo, which is the last week in June next year. Last week, so I can come up here the first week. we changed that. One of the other things I was very happy to steal from this church was a program called Synergy. They had no idea of a retreat down there where you get together and go to these different kinds of meetings. So we are going to have a variety of speakers. We have one of the guys that comes at a center who works in film. So he's going to give a lecture on film and books, magazines, and those kinds of things. We have a travel agent who wants to try to develop a gay resort down there. So he's going to talk about travel to Ecuador and being gay. Pastor Felipe Adolf from the Lutheran Church is going to talk down and say, this is why we accept gays in our church and they don't. It's not a put-down, it's just an explanation of the reasoning. We are going to have Dr. Francisco Contreras come down and talk about HIV and sexually transmitted disease. It's going to be Friday night, and we're going to have a little fiesta, and we're going to show the Spanish version of, I can't remember the name, Thank You to Wong Fu, or... And then Saturday is going to be all of our lectures. Sunday will be the guest speaker, Dr. Francisco Contreras, and we're going to have a buffet-type supper, sandwiches and like that, and then we're going to show the Spanish version of In-N-Out. So something else that they have not ever had down there. Some of the things that we do go to, they do have a gay fair down there. Last year they had 5 booths and 300 people show up. That was the first gay fair. This year they're hoping to have 20 booths and hope to have as many as 1,000 people. About half the people that come to the Pride Center now talk to us at the gay fair. So we know it works. And we're going to be there with bells on. So we go to a transgender party down there, a pageant, a beauty pageant. Believe it or not, the first civil rights movement in Ecuador was done by the transgender community. This is part of the gay pride parade. These are all guys that go to the center. This is Ronal, Herman, Mato, and Jorge. And at the TG Festival, what they do down there is they are prostitutes. They cannot work anywhere else. They are more ostracized than gays and lesbians are. There have been 73 murders on transgender ladies down there this year, and this is only September. So we are working with their community to try to support them and be able to give them a safe place to be, help with the anti... There's an anti-homophobia day, actually, in May down there. And we're going to sponsor that next year. God, there's so many things going on. It just keeps going on and on and on. We have quarterly fundraisers. We have a theater that allows us to get incomes. This is Santa Semana, which is the Holy Week just before Easter. This parade is 4.5 hours long. Many of the people walk the entire route barefooted and in cassocks. Picture the KKK. Back in the 1600s, that's the way the Spanish priests would dress when they went in public. And they do that with a number of different colors and banners and on, depending on what kind of rank they had and which church they belonged to. This is a group of police officers. This is at the fair, by the way, that we got all the people coming from. The last show was a group of police officers who were worshiping the Virgin Mary. It's very common because it's a Catholic country down there. And they walked the entire deal. All their holsters are on backwards, indicating they are not there to hurt anybody, that they are there to help. And they only do that during this parade. So really interesting, fascinating place to be. Let's see. This coming March, we have 2 Jew guys who come to the center all the time. They are both Jewish and Christian, and they are going to put on a Passover play and a Passover dinner for us. There has never been, as far as we can tell, even at the synagogues, a Passover dinner in Ecuador. So another first for the Pride Center. This is a costume that this lady made for the transgender festival. All of the costumes you have seen up here are handmade. They are not bought at a store. Every single person sits down and says, this is what I want on my costume. I want this color instead, and they'll add it on, sew it on, do it. It's just absolutely fascinating to watch the costumes that they have down there. Okay, the next function that we have, the last function that we're going to have, is Coming Out Day, and that's on October 11th. They never had that down there either, so this will be a first for them. One of the things we're going to do is we're going to have pictures on the wall and then biographies underneath. Chris, can you do, I think it's group 5? These are pictures of the people that we are going to do. Who's he? Okay. They know him down. They love, this is one of the most revered figures, film actors in Ecuador. Who's this? I'm not going to tell you until the end, so I'll give you time to think. They have a story down there that every gay man has a Peter. This is Walt Whitman, and this is his boyfriend, Peter Doyle. This is proof that Walt Whitman had a Peter. Alexander the Great. Don't know him either, do you? You guys aren't old enough. All the guys with the white hair, you don't know. How about him? French. Cyrano de Bergerac. Very good. Elton John and his partner. They just adopted two babies, I think. Or had them out of wedlock, something like that. Greg Louganis. Who's this? Very famous actor. Played in a movie called Independence Day. Had a beard.
Harvey Firestein.
Harvey Firestein. James Dean.
Marlon Brando.
Bisexual. Not gay. Here's one the Catholic Church doesn't really like. This is Pope Julius I. There was also Pope Julius III and Pope Paul II who were gay. Famous silent movie actor from Mexico.
No.
Ramon Navarro.
Who?
Raymond Navarro.
Oh, okay.
Burr was gay. He was not. Burr is a Canadian actor, by the way. That's all of them? Okay, the two you didn't know, the first one, Russian, wrote music. Tchaikovsky. Okay. The second one was the president of something really famous. It's called the United States of America. James Buchanan, 15th president just before Abraham Lincoln. Documented in four different places, separate independent places that he was gay.
Awesome.
So, that's President Buchanan. I want to finish up saying one thing. Thank you, God. I never in my life, never thought that I would be doing something like this. And neither did any of you. But every one of you can be a missionary. How simple is it when you hear somebody just sneeze and say, bless you? Don't say bless you. Be a missionary and say, God bless you.
Amen.
That may be the only time that week that person hears the word, the name of God. Be a missionary. Do something that promotes God and brings his children back to him each and every day. Thank you. If anybody has any questions, I'll be here afterwards. Thank you very, very much.